Kelly Deal. I'm a community and content manager for Guild Wars, and you are listening to Guildcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 17th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is my co-host, Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, good. I missed Guildcast.
I know, me too. It's been 2 weeks.
Oh, like, it was awful.
It was not a fun 2 weeks. We thought of you listeners every single hour moment of every day. actually, literally, that's true, because I was last week we were going to record, and I was like, oh, we got to record, and my voice is out, and your voice is out, and what are we going to do? And But I made that little post up on the website, and I said, you know, we have a little bit of a delay, but we'll be fine. A lot of well wishes from listeners, so that's cool.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were, and even today, we're still muting to cough quite a bit. I think we both are.
Yeah. So you'll probably hear some mutes and some voices going out and things like that, but
that's
yeah, it's definitely okay because we are back and here we are.
Yay.
Episode 17.
It's totally worth the wait because we have so much cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I really wish we could have recorded a little more timely. You know, talk about the PAX stuff and the Dragon Con stuff, but so we're a little late on this. But the good news is, well, it's not good news, but the good news for us being slackers is that there was no big reveal this week, so we can fill the show up with our impressions, a few emails, things like that, and we don't have to worry about them revealing the Mesmer class yet, right?
Yeah. Okay. If you say so.
Oh, boy. So, so I guess over the last 2 weeks, I mean, besides PAX and everything, which we'll talk about, what else have you been up to as far as gaming?
You know, not a ton. It's just, well, for the longest time, I didn't feel like sitting upright. So there wasn't a lot of gaming involved. But I just sort of accidentally found out that my Guild Wars Necromancer has, like, I think she has, like, 5 dungeons left in her hard mode dungeon guide. And it was almost like this little... a goal that I'm close to, and I didn't even know. Oh my gosh. So I've kind of been trying to get in there and work on that a little bit.
Cool.
I'm the only person in the world not playing Vindictus.
Oh, yes. I hope to play that this weekend.
Yes. So, that, honestly, not much. I've played a little bit of Lotro, but my husband and I kind of want to wipe the slate and start the free-to-play together, and play through together, so I'm sort of waiting for him to get back in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I spend a lot of time writing about gaming and not doing much of it.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
It happens. So, what about you?
Nothing. Nothing at all. So, there we go.
You played that I am remodeling so extensively, I'm practically building a new house MMO.
Yes, yes, yes. That's and the house goes on sale, listed on Monday, so then I can rest. I can start playing games again. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. Well, cool. Let's get into this this PAX stuff that we've wanted to talk about for so long. Do you even remember PAX? Like, do you remember what happened?
You know, I am still... This is probably embarrassing. I'm still at the point where I think about it and I get, like, this big smile. It was that great.
I'm actually really... This might sound funny, but I'm actually really happy for you because I was so excited for you to be there and, like, see all that stuff and meet those people and you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, I can't wait to hear back from Ruby and
yes, it was so cool.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think I texted you from PAX at one point, and I know how much you love it when people text you. I couldn't resist.
Did I respond? I forgot.
No, you don't respond to texts, though, so I didn't really expect one.
I don't respond to email either. So.
But I texted you. I came running out of my meeting with Colin Johansson, and I ran to the press room because that was literally like the only place you could text or get any kind of internet. And I'm trying to remember exactly what I sent you, but I think it was just OMG Guild Wars 2 for the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was. I forgot what I was doing at the time, but I was like, what? That's pretty cool. Can't wait to read about that in like 4 days from now when I get internet access again.
That text, I literally sent that to you as my laptop was firing up to write it up for Massively. So I was very excited about that.
That's cool. Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about that iPhone app.
Yeah. We don't know. I don't think we know how far they're going to be able to take it. Right now we know you can access and update your friends list. Mm-hmm. You can go to where your friends are. Like, it's a full map on the iPhone and the iPad. I don't actually know about Droid. I don't think the Droid app is, that question has been quite answered yet. Mm-hmm. So everybody was kind of hedging their bets and saying smartphone.
Yeah.
But I actually physically saw it on an iPhone and an iPad, so we know it's there.
Cool.
I think I asked Colin Johansson, I was like, you know, I can see this better. Why don't you put it on my phone? Just so I can, you know, and I have it for a reference. I just, you know.
Research, right?
Research, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gave me this look that he kept giving me, like, why are you even trying to do this? So, and you can access the marketplace. You know, we've all been really excited about the marketplace and the auction house and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I asked Colin how far, you know, how much are you going to be able to do here by the time launch arrives, and he said, we are going to take this as far as we can. Mm-hmm. So I am absolutely dying to see what they do with this.
Yeah, it sounds like they have plans to keep going even after it launches. You know, I guess as a point of reference, Fallen Earth did something similar to this, where they have a, you know, you can look at the maps, you can do, well, when it first released, you could only do really basic stuff, like look at the maps and check out certain things about your character, like what's equipped, what you have in your backpack, things like that. Well, now they have it so where you can mail people, you can craft, which is amazing, plus
that,
all the other things.
Your whole life is complete because you can craft in Fallen Earth.
Yeah, and so what I'm thinking is, like, if they can do this in Guild Wars 2, if they can make that to where you can craft and you can, you know, buy, sell in the auction house, I mean, that's a big part right there, buying and selling in the auction house. If you know, you're at work or you're at school and you have auctions going and, you know, some are closing and some are, you know, you want to list something, maybe you had something in your backpack, or maybe you're crafting something and once it's done, then you want to put it on the auction house. I mean, just think of all the possibilities, and I really hope that they implement this type of thing.
You know, this might be my fangirl showing, but I really think it's going to be done better. And here's why. Just what I saw, and man, I hate that I don't have any pictures or video or anything. just from what I saw was so gorgeous and really polished and well done. It looks now as good as the Fallen Earth app does. And the game's not even out yet.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they have time to do even more. I think we're going to see something really, really cool with that.
They made you turn off your cameras, right?
Yes.
For that? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I was sad. So I actually thought that they were saying, you know, you can't, this is what we're doing, and you can't tell anybody.
Oh, okay.
So then and it was really killing me until he clarified that, yeah, you can talk about this.
Oh.
It's like, oh, good.
And then you're like, I have to write a text really quick.
Yes, because that is my priority. I got a text shot.
Awesome.
And let him know. So, but it was really, really cool. I can't wait to find out more about this and see what all we're going to be able to do.
Yeah, yeah.
This might push me over the edge to buying an iPad, depending.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our first big reveal at PAX.
Cool. That's very exciting. And then did you get to play it next, or did you go to the Dynamic Events panel?
Oh, my gosh. I did both. I actually played... I played Guild Wars, and this almost makes me feel kind of bad, but not really. Saturday morning, media got in 1 hour early. We got in at 9. The regular doors opened at 10. Mm-hmm. At 9:01, you know where I was. I was, like, running across that expo floor to get over there to the Guild Wars 2 booth. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because it was really, really exciting. It was so cool to meet the ArenaNet people. I, like, threw them a wave as I ran past. Get out of the way. So I actually logged in, and I got playing. Character creation was really, really streamlined. I mean, you just got a randomized character depending, you know, you got male, female, and you got to pick their background and some of the basic questions that you got to fill in. Like my greatest regret, and what I was an elementalist, so what element I was more attuned with. Just a few things like that, but it was still absolutely gorgeous. I mean, everything about the character head to toe was so well done and so pretty. And it's not just like, ooh, pretty elementalist. Even, I mean, it doesn't matter what you had. Everything was just so well done. And the animation was so clear and so sharp. Even from character creation, I was just blown away.
Now, these questions that they ask you to determine kind of your creation, are they, like, written to be veiled so that, you know what I mean? Like, they ask you questions where you don't really know where they're going with it, and then they determine that? Or is it like, what element do you like best, fire, water, ice, you know, I mean, or air, or whatever? Is that how it is, or?
Some of them are, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward answer. It's not like, you know, it's not really obscure, but like your greatest regret, you have three. What is my greatest regret? That centaurs killed my sister and I never found her body. Or when I was a baby, I was given up for adoption. I've never found my true parents. Or I had an opportunity to join the circus and I didn't take it. Like, those were my three choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that somewhere down the line, your personal story addresses this.
Oh, okay.
Because I can't imagine that they would just take these three things and then, okay, that's it. We're never going to revisit that.
Yeah.
Well, so my hope is that somewhere down the line, you know, in your personal story, you get to find your parents, or you have some sort of instance quest where you can go find what happened to your sister.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I guess I could see that. See, that's why I was curious how they did that. If it was just straightforward, if it was like, you know, kind of a little bit more veiled. But it's good to know that they did that. So, okay, so you made a character, and you were only able to play humans, right?
You could play a higher level char, but I really wanted to see the starting area, so.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what I meant was you can only create a human. So, yeah, you could.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So creating a human was essentially the only option, and then you started out in Divinity's Reach, right?
Yes, and Divinity's Reach is absolutely beautiful. I know I keep saying that, but everything was just stunning.
Can you compare it to anything? Like, is it comparable to any other game? Or?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I really can't. I feel bad answering that because everything that I want to compare it to is like, well, it's better than this, and it certainly looks better than this and this. Mm. It's got the entire art style. I know in the manifesto they were saying, you know, we really want this to almost look like a painting. You watched the manifesto, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah. And it is this combination of this really stylized, almost like oil painting that you're looking at, but it's got the realism. It's so realistic looking that I'm not even sure how to describe it because it's this perfect blend of those two. And I have no idea how they manage that, but it works really, really well.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just the whole art style was amazing. And Divinity's Reach, my first thought was, all right, I'm going to make a character, and I want to run around. I want to see all the districts of Divinity's Reach. I want to go visit the castle, and then I want to go to my home instance. Even Divinity's Reach alone, there is no way on this earth that you can see it all in 40 minutes.
Wow.
It's that huge, and it's that intricate and involved.
So, even taking the biggest city in Guild Wars now, which would probably, what would you say would be the biggest city in Guild Wars now?
Lion's Arch or Commodon, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking one of those. So, it's much, much bigger than those?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Those aren't even close.
Cool. That's good to hear.
Very, very neat. I'm trying to think, and actually, that's something that I said my second round. I got to play twice, and I intended to get in that line as many times as I could over the 4 days. Just flat did not have time.
Yeah.
So I got in there twice. The second time I said, all right, I want to see my home instance and I want to see the castle. Mm-hmm. Because at every station there was a developer, and they were there talking one-on-one to everybody and really helping. So the second time I said, these are the two things I want to see. And even just saying those two little things, in 40 minutes I didn't have time. I ran out of time.
Wow.
And that was, man, I zipped through character creation as fast as I could. I'm like running around Shaymore, just like yelling over my shoulder at villagers, just run, I gotta go. and I got through all of that, I mean, as fast as I could. I'm clicking through the cutscenes. And still, it's impossible. I mean, you could spend a day of gameplay just exploring Divinity's Reach alone.
So how did they have it set up? Because we were speculating on that. Like, there would just be giant lines. And it, how many stations did they have again? Wasn't it like...
It was either... And I had to go back and look at a picture to confirm. It was either 24 or 32. I may be missing a row.
Okay. So they had a lot, though. But were the lines just insane?
The lines were crazy. It wasn't so, it wasn't even so much a line as a gigantic clump of people. Because there were so many people. I mean, there was... Forming an actual line was pretty much impossible. Now, I talked a little bit to Martin Kirstein, and what he was telling me was that they just flat... They did not have the room that they had at Gamescom. I know they had 45 booths at... Or they had 45 demo stations at Gamescom, and there wasn't room for that kind of thing here at PAX.
Wow.
He said their entire booth space... You know the crowd... You know when we were watching the stream at Gamescom and the guy that we called the screaming guy, and he had the crowd, that little crowd area, he said, was about the size of their entire booth space at PAX.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they had less to work with. But what was so cool, now I heard one person say that she saw this happen, but I personally never once saw somebody say, screw it, this is not worth it, and turn around and walk away. Every person in front of you in line represented 40 more minutes of waiting.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And there were probably, I mean, you know, there were probably lines with 10 people in them.
Oh, wow.
And everybody was so happy. I mean, it was that good. And this, I know this sounds, this again is just me fangirling out, but there are hundreds of people right there agreeing with me.
Yeah.
So it was insanely crowded, and the lines were so long, just because once you got up there, you had 40 minutes of demo time, and nobody cared.
Well, and I think that's not only, you know, listening to you tell that story and the people waiting in line and all that, but, you know, it won that award at Gamescom. Was it like best of show or something like
best
that?
Best online game.
Best online game. And then at PAX, it won again. It won best of show at PAX. So, I mean...
Yeah.
That's crazy. The game hasn't even come out yet, you know, and it's winning all these awards, and it's, man, it's just incredible.
It's just killing me that you couldn't see this in person.
Yeah, it's killing me too.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But, you know, it's just, what we've seen is just that well done. And I really think what this goes back to is that ArenaNet... They're not going to show you a half-finished, broken game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we've seen is, and I may be completely off, but from my perspective, what we've seen are parts of the game that are launch-ready.
Yeah.
If this was the entire game, it could go tomorrow.
Well, that stuff is so important. You know, you look at games like APB, you know, that... How long was that around? Like 3 months, and it's already shutting down?
Oh my gosh, and, I'm so depressed about APB.
Yeah, and... But it was such a great game that just was, you know, it came out wrong, I guess you could say. It just, you know, it was laggy, and it had a lot of bugs and things like that. So I think ArenaNet, you know, they use their experience plus the fact that they know that they can release this whenever they can, you know, whenever it's ready. And people will still go crazy for it, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and I know a lot of people who, you know, I've probably said this before, a lot of people who have quit the game, you know, said, I'm never playing another ArenaNet game, just because they were so tired of the wait for Guild Wars 2. And now that they're seeing all the stuff, they're like, okay, I forgive you, ArenaNet.
Maybe it was worth the wait. Yeah. Well, you know, something that struck me at PAX, I was talking to another developer, again, developer for another game, and no, I am not going to tell you who it was. but we were talking about betas in general, and he said, you know what, people don't know, a beta, when it's a game's in beta, it means it's broken and free. Which is pretty much true.
Yeah.
But ArenaNet, it's like ArenaNet sitting over here going, no, that's not what it means to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, you guys, the fans, don't deserve anything less than the best that we have, and here it is.
Well, a lot of people, unfortunately, make their judgment call on if they're going to play the game by playing the open beta. You know, they download it, they play it for a couple minutes, and they're like, oh, this game is broken, this is stupid, I'm not going to play this. Which is completely ridiculous.
Yes.
But so it's like betas have to be, you know, launch ready now. You know, they have to be perfect.
Well, what we've seen is absolutely perfect. And I don't think we don't know anything about beta yet. Everything that ArenaNet said is we're not ready to talk about beta yet. We're not gonna do that. honestly, at this point, I think if they continue in this vein, they could just launch the thing and go and be absolutely fine.
Hmm.
So, and you know, they've said, this is something so cool that I read on the forum, because even just thinking about this, I was like, oh my gosh, that would be really, really neat. We were talking, you know, all this time ArenaNet has said when it's ready. That is all we're getting for a launch date, is when it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody on the Guild Wars 2 Guru forum said, wouldn't it be cool if one day we navigated to guildwars2.com and everything was gone, replaced by just a logo that says it's ready?
That would be cool. That would be a way to announce it. Yeah, that would be the way to announce it. That would actually be something they would do. You know what I mean?
Well, look at how they launched the site. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very similar. We had that Guild Wars 2, we had the dragon, and it was just on there. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you guys, that's, and actually, you know what, too? They so many of them were like, oh, we listen to Guildcast.
Oh,
so
cool.
You guys, I would really, really love it if you did that. That would
that's
be
cool.
So awesome.
That would be awesome, definitely. Okay, so then you went to the events panel, right? The dynamic events panel?
Yes, I went to the events panel, and there's actually a funny story here, and I'll make it short. The events panel started at 10 on Saturday. Well, I had been in there since 9, just indulging in this, like, completely empty Guild Wars 2 booth space and playing, and several of the developers had come over, and I wound up getting Mike Z logged into a developer character, because I had been saying, I want so badly to see the legacy sites, you know? I want to see Temple of the Ages, and I want to see Serenity Temple, and all of these places. So he ended up logging into a different character, and he went around and showed me all these places, which was just absolutely amazing. And we went beyond my demo time, so now I'm looking at my clock. It's 9:59, and he's still showing me stuff, and I'm sitting here going, all right. This guy is showing me the stuff that I have wanted to see for the better part of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone's ringing. It's Justin Olivetti, who is there with us. He's upstairs in the panel like, why are you missing this panel? Are you dead? Because as far as I know, that's the only thing that would make you miss this panel.
Yeah.
And I literally, my phone rang. I saw it was Justin. I literally answered the phone. I know, but you have no idea what's going on down here. But we went to Temple of the Ages, and I think that was probably one of my favorite parts. Even though it kind of made me sad. You know, Temple of the Ages is submerged quite a bit in Guild Wars 2. So he went underwater and was swimming around, and I got to see the Grent statue, and there's a Cormyr statue. Cormyr got her own statue at some point in the future in Temple of the Ages.
Just in time for it to go underwater, right?
I know, and that kind of bummed me out. We never really saw that when it was upright and in good shape.
Yeah.
It was like completely underwater and like half toppled over. And the Duena statue was kind of broken and beaten up. Melandre was like half underwater. It was very, very cool.
Hmm.
And then I actually had to say, I have to stop now. And that was like the hardest thing I had to do all weekend. But it was very, very cool. So then Mike actually walked me upstairs to the panel because I wasn't even sure where it was. And I was
cool.
All right, well, now you're late, so come on.
That's cool. That's really cool. So what was the panel like?
Okay, the panel was very cool, and I was a little confused at first because what they were saying beforehand was, you know, we're gonna talk to you about how we design these dynamic events and how we do this. And I was like, well, that's kind of a, you know, and I was picturing like a lecture format with maybe some Q&A at the end. And I was like, you know, that seems like it'd draw a really big crowd. Maybe that's why it's a ticketed event. I mean, you had to have a pass to get in. So we get up there, and I walk into the room, and this room literally seats like 100 or so people. And I'm looking around going, this is a complete waste. Do you know how many people you could have pulled in for this panel?
Oh, yeah. Well, and how many were in there?
You know, I don't know exact numbers. Maybe around 100.
Oh, okay.
I may be off. The room wasn't full. There were some empty seats, but I think that's probably because so many people were up running around taking pictures, too.
Mm, yeah.
But I seriously could not figure this out. I'm looking around. I'm like, this, you know, you guys really could have pulled in 600 or 700 people. You could have filled the biggest room this place has.
Oh, yeah.
So then they start talking, and it was, we knew that Eric Flanham and Colin Johansson were going to be there. But then I looked up the front, and there was Jeff Grubb, too. So that was extremely cool that we had an extra person, you know, somebody that's really well-versed in the lore and does all of that. So then they start talking, and they're like, okay, so we are going to let you guys help design an event for the game.
Nice.
And there was, like, this collective, you know, like, all the air sucked out of the room.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that explains why it was such a small crowd. Can you imagine trying to do that with, like, hundreds of people?
Oh, yeah. And that explains why it was kind of like a ticket-only type of a thing.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Very, very cool.
So you asked them to make a Sean NPC, right?
Yes, and there is going to be one.
Right.
Also, I'm lying to you. You deserve one.
I'm going to see a Ruby NPC, aren't I?
Well, there already is one. Unfortunately, yeah. It's a centaur, and I'm a little unhappy about that. They call me a horse, and people kill me a lot. But they did spell it right, so they get bonus points for that. But anyway, so that what was cool about this is that he starts, they start showing maps on the screen, and it's stuff that we've never seen before. So we got all of this really cool, we got all of these awesome new maps. The maps also had little icons, lists of events that they've already got planned up in there, which was extremely cool to see because we got an idea of some of the events, and a lot of them were placeholder names. Mm-hmm. But you know how ArenaNet, they love to put all these funny little pop culture references in there?
Yeah.
I think it's in Alona, there's a quest called Drake's on the Plane, which just never fails to make me laugh.
Yeah, yeah. With the banana scythe.
The banana scythe is awesome. Don't knock the banana scythe. That and the melon hammer.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there are events. There's this event called Turret Syndrome. T-U-R-R-E-T.
That's almost borderline wrong. That's like.
And it's so good. That's what makes it so awesome.
And we have pictures of these in the write-up you did in the gallery over at Massively, right?
Yes, I actually went over there because about halfway through I realized that my poor iPhone, all the pictures I was taking were washing out.
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm going to come home with a lot of pictures of a shiny white screen and nothing else. And look at all of this awesome stuff. So I kind of, Emily Deal was in there and I kind of made my way over to her. And I was like, here's my email address. If you want to email me these images, that would be the greatest thing ever. So she actually did email those to me the other day, and I was, oh my gosh, I was so happy to get those.
Yeah, that was really cool of her to do that.
I appreciated that so much.
Yeah, it was kind of above and beyond. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, she did. And you know what, too? She really, I forget who now. I can never remember this stuff on the fly. The person that actually had those files was out sick that week.
Oh, okay.
And so she, like, spent a lot of her time digging around trying to find these, which was very, very nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so we're looking through, and, you know, we've got these events, and some of them were just so funny. And we picked our area, and the way we picked the area, it was so funny watching the way the crowd went, because it was so predictable. Jeff Grubb starts telling us about all of this stuff, and he introduces a brand new race that nobody's ever heard of before. Which are the Quaggan. Huh. And did you see those?
Yeah, we... I didn't see them. Oh, yeah, I did see them in the gallery you had. When you sent me that information about it, it was the first time I saw it for the panel I did at Dragon Con. Uh-huh. And so I was literally, like, reading it probably the second time to a group of, you know, probably 30 people. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, and then there's this and this, and then everybody had questions, and I was like, I'm not really sure beyond that what else is in it. But actually, one of the questions was a good question. They're like, another playable race? And I'm like, no. This is an NPC race. And I didn't even make that distinction at all because I started out saying, yeah, there's another race, and this is
oh
what it is.
Gosh.
And everybody was like you know, muttering amongst themselves, and then somebody finally asked it, so this is playable? No.
It's one of those, it doesn't even occur to you to make that distinction until
yeah,
they say
exactly,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're like, oh crap, wait.
Yeah, it'll be like, Sean Schuster said, there's another playable race. No, I didn't say that.
And then everything just ends in tears.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we saw the Quaggan, and they were just, they're so cool. They're just such a neat race. They're really pacifistic, and they just kind of, you know, they just kind of hang out in their little corner and be Quaggan. Until you, like, really tick them off, and then they hulk out and mess you up, and then they're okay, and they feel bad about it. I mean, that's, like, totally Bruce Banner. Because then afterwards, and that's actually what Jeff Grubb said, he goes, but they feel really bad about it after. I don't think that helps the dude they just ate.
That's funny. And that's the one where they say, like, Quaggan's sad.
Oh, my God. He was like, Quaggan's sad. And I could not stop laughing at that. It was so awesome. Yeah, they, like, talk about themselves in the third person, and they're... It's kind of like Eeyore... If Eeyore and a beluga whale had a baby, is what this is.
Oh, okay.
Which is just an awful mental image.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're just such a cool race, and we were all so fascinated by them. I, like, seriously want one as a pet in my house.
It looks like you could ride them, too, right? Maybe a mount?
Oh, I didn't think about that. I'd be afraid they'd get mad, though.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. But anyway, so he showed us these new areas, and he was like, so which one do you guys want to design an event in? The entire room is like, the Quaggan area, the Quaggan area! So, and then it just... Everybody was throwing out suggestions, and Colin Johansson's like over on this whiteboard, and he's writing them down as fast as he can. I'm like gesturing, like you can see me.
I can see that picture of the whiteboard, though, on our on your write-up.
That was an awesome whiteboard. Do you like how at the top left-hand corner it says, when it's ready?
Yeah, when it's done, it has a little smiley face and everything.
Yeah, some guy asked that at the very end. I was ready to kill that guy. But anyway, so everybody's like throwing out suggestions, and through the design process, I just really got the feeling that this was how they were used to doing it. Like, everybody just in a big room having fun and throwing out ideas and having a few laughs, and it comes out really, really well. So what we had to do was the crate are still there. You know the crate from Eye of the North? But they're, like, really, really evil. They, like, keep air-breathing slaves, and they have these big obelisks to keep slaves in, and they're really reprehensible was the word that Jeff Grubb used, and it was just such a good word for them. So they're trying to steal Quaggan eggs, and we have to try to save them. And we wound up at the end, some of the stuff on that whiteboard was like mega epic shark and Quaggan bombs, which I need to see something called a Quaggan bomb. Guild Wars 2, there needs to be that.
You asked them to add land sharks, right? Right?
That would be so cool. I think we need a land shark. I mean, the jokes alone that you could make with that.
Yeah.
You can have some fun with that. So when you guys play Guild Wars 2 and you find a little event where you have to save Quaggan eggs from a crate, we did that.
That is awesome. That is such a good idea that they did that. I can't believe that.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was so cool. So, and you know what? I'll tell you one of the funniest things. We dragged the Orion Undead into this whole mess. I mean, we're like dragging everybody in there. Because a recurring theme, everybody was like, well, what if we're like trying to get allies to help us attack the crate. And somebody said, well, what if we like trick the Orion Undead into attacking the crate? And Jeff Grubb goes, well, the thing is, you don't really have to trick the Orion Undead into attacking anything.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They'll just pretty much do it.
Just point them in their direction, right?
Yeah, we're thinking like throw a rock and get out of the way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to play that. And it'll be especially, you know, it'll be special for you and for other people at the panel. Be like,
yeah,
I helped
with that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we need the mega epic shark has got to be in there. So I want that.
Cool.
All right, so that was the panel. I could seriously like talk about this for another hour, so I'll rein it in.
So, okay, what else did you do? Was the party?
The party was actually really good. We had to duck out after an hour, which I just hated because we actually had a massively event scheduled,
and
I thought I should probably not miss that.
Yeah.
I guess they were funny about me putting it together and then not showing. The ArenaNet party was crowded. Oh my gosh. We were in the upstairs party room at the Hard Rock Cafe. And it was just really, really nice. Mike O'Brien got up and he like welcomed everybody. That's somebody I never got to meet, was Mike O'Brien. He got up and welcomed everybody. There was just a really nice buffet, and you got like your drink ticket when you walked in. And all the devs were there just really kind of mingling and hanging out and chatting. It was a very, very good time. It was well done. I think everybody really felt welcome and just really felt like the ArenaNet team wanted them personally to be there. And that was nice.
In previous years, they've always had the party at, I want to say Jillian's, but I'm not sure. But they've always had it at, like, an arcade that also serves food and drinks and everything. Has, like, a bar in it. And so that was kind of cool because you could sit there and you could literally play arcade games with, you know, ArenaNet members. So I'm wondering why they didn't do that this year.
I don't know. But I'm a party noob, so I didn't know to ask. But so it was really nicely done.
Cool.
I was impressed.
That's good to hear. So how many times were you able to go back and kind of play a little bit of Guild Wars 2?
Two times. I want to cry about that. And yeah. I really should complain because my two times were just such cool experiences. My first time technically went over my demo limit.
And you were pushing orphans out of the way to get up there, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. There was a nun in a wheelchair with kittens on her lap, and I kicked her over.
Yeah, hey, you got to do what you got to do, right?
No, you know what? I was actually nervous. This is so funny. Because I was seriously halfway back in line. The press line was ridiculous. I was looking around going, who are all these people? But there were a ton of people in front of me, and I was like, I'm not going to get a demo station. So I'm speed walking. And it was okay. There were only four or five people there ahead of me.
That's cool. So I guess to kind of wrap that up and kind of, you know, with your impressions and everything, what would you say was your favorite part of the game that you saw during your demo?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard. All right, let me think. How about, you know what, I created my second round, I made a human noble elementalist, and I spent some time checking out the home instance. That was seriously over half my demo. The home instance, I think, was just amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything was so well done. I get such a kick out of the fact that concept art is art in the game. And what I mean by that, in my home instance, I went, and there's concept art of a Silvari, and it's in a frame, and it's hanging on my wall.
Oh, okay.
Now, how cool is that?
That is cool. Well, they've done that. They actually did that in Guild Wars, too, in a couple places. There's a place in Ascalon where there's, a piece of concept art of the Forgotten, and it's up in the ruins of Ascalon. It's, you know what
Does
I'm talking
it look
about?
Like stained glass?
Yeah, it looks like stained glass, and it looks like it's just a big snake dude.
A big snake dude. I think that's what it's titled.
Yes, big snake dude.
But yeah, we've seen that. You see that on your first run to Eye of the North when you're running from the destroyers. I really only kind of see it as a blur in passing because I'm mostly, destroyers. But it looks nice, what I've seen.
Yeah, so I like the fact that they integrated that in. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, but all the little touches in the home instances, I went into, I don't know if it was my office, because there was a desk there where I assume I sat and did noble things.
Yes.
But this, this really intricate chair and this desk, and over beside it is a suit of armor on a stand, and at the very bottom there's a little plaque, and it's got Crichton writing engraved in it.
Oh.
Yeah,
now, could you interact with it?
I don't think I tried.
Because
I'm trying to remember.
Well, I guess we'll find out about all this this Hall of Monuments stuff soon, but I'm wondering if they're going to kind of incorporate that into your home itself. You know what I mean? I don't know.
That would be extremely cool. I either didn't try or you can't at all, because nothing about that stands out except that, ooh, Crichton writing. So I can't read Crichton, so I took a really close-up picture of it and posted it, because I knew the people on the Guild Wars 2 Guru forums would pick it up, and I was so happy they did not let me down.
Oh, yeah, what's it say?
It says Seraph, and last I checked, they hadn't figured out the second word for a while. They thought it was Gears with a G. Gears with a Z, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Which would be really cool. But I think what they came up with in the end was Seraph Guard.
Oh, okay.
And I may be remembering that second word wrong. But even just those little touches, just in this obscure corner of one home instance, in a little plaque at the base of a statue, even the detail goes down that far.
Yeah.
So I really, and I love that. Since she was fancy and noble, she had a bed with like a big tester, a canopy on it. And it was beautiful.
Cool. That's really cool. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to play with this.
I can't. Now, are you going to go to PAX East?
Yeah, I'm going to go to PAX East. They'll have it there, right?
I believe they are going to be there.
Sweet. That would be really nice. That's in March, right?
That is in March. I cannot wait.
In Boston.
Now, I do want to... There's one more thing I want to mention, just the overall Guild Wars 2 PAX experience. Mm-hmm. I left just really feeling like they rolled out the red carpet for me, mm-hmm. that ArenaNet did. But here's the thing about that, is that everybody left feeling that way. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so fabulous that ArenaNet, you know, gave me extra stuff. Everybody got that.
That's cool.
Now, how cool is that? I mean, there is no other game that I went to and saw while I was at PAX that I went to and saw that everybody felt that way. Mm-hmm. That everybody walked out saying, you know what, these people really are interested and care about me as a player. And they really want to deliver a product that I love and want to get invested in.
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
That was just, absolutely, they stood head and shoulders above everybody at PAX just for that alone.
That's why they get the awards.
I agree. Well, that really, really cool game they're producing.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that.
That is an awesome game. It was, but yeah, the demo was 100 times better than what I ever could have expected when I walked in.
Cool. It's very good to hear.
Yes.
Cool.
But we need to, I think that was like everything PAX, we need to hear about your panel.
Oh, yes. So what I did basically, oh man, that was a long time ago.
thanks for throwing that at me.
No, it was pretty cool. It was in Atlanta at Dragon Con, and the last day, it was a Monday. I wasn't expecting very many people at all because it was literally the day that everyone was leaving. You know, it was like 11:30, and it was, you know, the whole thing closed at like 1, I think. So it was like one of the last things there, from 11:30 to 12:30. But there was still a pretty good turnout. There were probably, like I said, maybe 20, 30 people there. There were more than last year, I think there were probably maybe 20, I would say. But it seems like there were a lot more this year. Great conversation. You know, the people, I really like the format because it's kind of a relatively small room, and I'm sitting up at the front, and everybody's, you know, sitting out in the audience, quote-unquote. And I'll literally just kind of say what's going on, you know, say the new information that you told me, and, you know, kind of catch everyone up. I asked, you know, who here plays the game, and pretty much everyone raised their hands, and I said, who is here just because you don't play Guild Wars, but you're curious about Guild Wars 2, and there were, you know, a good number of people, maybe 5 or 6 of them, and then I asked who listens to Guildcast, and I think there were 3 hands, and I cried.
Thank you guys.
No, yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was really cool to even know that there were anybody, you know, that there's anybody there who listened. One guy even told me, he says, I listen to Massively Speaking. Does that count? I said, well, yeah, pretty much.
I remember you telling me about that guy.
Yeah, it was pretty much, it's the same, except a little bit more Guild Wars in this one. After I told the information, you know, I kind of opened it up for Q&A, and a lot of people had a lot of questions, and I didn't know the answers to a lot of them because they haven't been announced yet, but we got into some pretty good discussion about, especially skills, how they're going to do the skill bars. That was something that a lot of people were really interested in, about, you know, the different races, about the lore. That was something that a lot of people wanted to know. I really like talking about that kind of stuff. You know, you sit down, and it's funny because I'll notice people will ask me a question, and you know, they know that I'm not officially from NCSoft. You know, they know that I'm just some dude talking, you know, about about how much I like the game, and so they'll ask me these questions and try to stump me, and then I'll kind of go off on it and just keep going even more on the lore, and they're like, oh, so he does know the lore. Okay. Okay.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. He's not just you know, a weird game journalist that just doesn't know anything.
Surprise.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun, and it was really cool just sitting there talking with those people because they knew what they were. There were a lot of people, you know, it ran the gamut. You know, there were people who knew everything about the lore and they wanted to talk about that, and then there were people who literally just never played Guild Wars, and they were like, so what is this whole Guild Wars thing? You know, and so I had to make sure that I went back and forth Lots and lots and lots of questions. I mean, it was an hour-long panel, and we filled it up really nicely with questions. And so, I mean, if anyone is listening, you know, who was in that, the three of you who listen, definitely it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed doing it. And I'm gonna do it again next year. I mean, when I walked out of the panel, Kevin Stollard, who's the MMO director, he's like, "So can I write you down for next year too?" And I said, "Yep."
Oh, yay!
So, yeah, I mean, the only bad thing about that is I won't be going to PAX, you know. That's always the drawback. But
wait, I thought next year was PAX's turn. That just occurred to me.
Aww. Yeah, I know. Well, that's why PAX East is cool. You know, I still get to do the PAX thing and then still go to Dragon Con. I love Dragon Con, though.
Dragon Con's an easy drive for you, too.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours away. And so, the panel, like I said, you know, it wasn't... I basically revealed everything that you told me. You know, you caught me up on the news before I went to the panel. And so everything we've talked about in this episode, you know, is essentially what I talked about. Mm-hmm. People really seem to like the Qui-Gon, the story about that. I told them about the... I also told them about when you were discussing... you mentioned the way they put two kind of opposite races border to each other. Like, they'll have the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? The Sura and the
Norn and the Silvari.
Yeah, the Norn and the Silvari. That's one. I told that the little story you said where the Norn will tell Silvari to go out and like hit beehives with sticks.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny because the Silvari have intelligence. You know, they have this story in their head, but they don't have experience, so they don't know what's really going to happen when you hit a beehive with a stick.
Yeah. So the Norn are like, "We'll give you experience."
Yeah. Yeah. Here. Yeah. That's
yeah,
hilarious.
That was great.
Yeah, so the room just, you know, laughed their heads off when I said that. It's something that I'm glad a lot of people responded positively mm-hmm. to, because I thought it was pretty fun too.
Now, did you tell them about the Great Ooh?
Yes, I did. The Grawl and the Great Ooh. Yeah.
Yes, the Great Ooh was like that was like a huge hit in the room. Everybody laughed at that so hard.
Yeah, that's the Asura, right? They told that to the Grawl.
Yeah, there's an Asura. He's like hiding in this gigantic rock formation. And we have a picture on Massively of that rock formation.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the images that Emily sent me. And I'm just picturing this Asura sitting in there. Jeff Grubb talked about it like a Wizard of Oz thing, the man behind the curtain.
Oh, okay.
And I can just picture, you know, and then bring me a sandwich.
That's so cool. But I had a lot of fun with that panel. You know, I still, to this day, I get nervous talking in front of people. It's just the way I am. But people there really made me feel, you know, welcome, I guess, and kind of at ease. It was, you know, it started out kind of me giving information, and it turned into just a bunch of Guild Wars geeks, you know, geeking out about the game. So,
that's like the best thing
ever.
Yeah,
it was really cool. And I actually had a guy come up to me at the end and say, you know, are you... even though I said this during the panel, but he wanted to make absolutely sure that I wasn't part of NCSoft, and I said, no, you know, I'm not, I don't claim to be, I'm definitely not part of NCSoft. Last year, actually, a couple people at Dragon Con got in trouble for that.
That was not pretty.
No, it was, and it's not that they were saying they're from NCSoft, it's just that NCSoft was like, wait a minute, we didn't know about this, so this year I made sure to say, look, I'm the guy, I do a fan site, and I, you know, run Massively.com, and that's about it, but definitely not from NCSoft. So it was really cool, though. It was even after the panel was done, a few people came up to me, and they were talking to me about things here and there. A couple people introduced themselves. I met some great people who I've been talking to, you know, on email, or people who listen to Guildcast, and, you know, they've emailed me before, and they introduced themselves. So that was really cool. It's always a lot of fun.
All right. Now, see, I'm kind of jealous that you got to meet people. And the people that are listening on Guild Wars 2 Guru right now, they're cringing. They know what's coming.
Uh-oh.
I was so excited to meet, like, there's like this core group on Guild Wars 2 Guru. They're such cool people, and a bunch of them were going to PAX, and I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I finally get to meet these people. I like them so much. I met one person.
Oh.
And then after we all got back, I see like this one post. She was like, yeah, I saw Ruby two or three times. I was afraid to go say hi. What? And then somebody else was like, yeah, I was at the ArenaNet party. I saw you at the bar. Nobody would come and say hello to me.
Well, you are pretty scary. You know. You,
I think that's it. I'm trying to, you know, you guys that I did talk to, did I smell? I'm not sure what was... was I, like, really drunk at the arena net party? Because I had half a cocktail.
Oh, man.
And I didn't think it was that bad.
You can email me privately and tell me what's wrong with Ruby.
One guy was like, you know, I'm just... It was like, oh, yeah, I saw Ruby and didn't say hi, and, oh, I wish I wasn't so introverted. And, come on, you guys.
Yeah, I've done that quite a few times. I mean, you know...
You saw me and wouldn't come talk to me?
Well, yeah, but even, you know, the first time I saw Gail Gray, I think it was PAX 07, maybe. This is going to sound completely ridiculous, but... I was at the booth, you know, I'm walking around, and I see her, and I'm like, oh my god, that's Gail Gray. You know, and it was like, and this was before I worked for Massively and everything, and I kind of, like, circled the booth a few times. I mean, there were a lot of people there, so I was kind of making my way around, and then I was like, okay, now I'm going to go say hi, and, oh wait, I got to do something else real quick. I got to, you know, like, making up excuses to where it would, you know, and then I went and I said hi, and she was the nicest person ever. So, I'm kind of like that, and I can kind of understand that. I just get, you know, I get a little nervous, and I can understand other people doing that too.
Okay, but I still think maybe I'll shower an extra time before PAX East, just in case. Now I saw Gail Gray at PAX, and I actually every time I went up and introduced myself to somebody, I kind of had to go, okay, just be cool, man, just be cool, it's okay. But I went over and said hi, and she was great. She, like, gave me a hug, and we talked, and she was so sweet. Yeah. Every time I saw her, she was surrounded by, like, six people.
Yeah, yeah.
And just having the time of her life talking to people.
Yeah.
So, it was, but yeah, at PAX East, I expect people to say, come say hi to me. You can go after that, but at least come introduce yourself.
I want to hear from someone, if anyone there saw Ruby and didn't say hi, I want to hear from you guys.
You're going to get, like, 1,000 emails.
To be like, I saw this crazy girl running around. I didn't want to get in her way because she would have knocked me down. But
all she was doing was, like, making these really high pitched noises.
And her eyes were huge. Cool. Well, I'm happy you had a good time there. You know.
Oh my gosh.
And PAX East is going to be great because PAX East, you're going to be there too, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be both of us squeeing about it. So we'll have to get somebody else to, like, take pictures of us just jumping up and down and being crazy.
You know I'm going to make you do that in public now, right?
We should record a show there, too. That's what we should do.
Oh, we have to.
Fun. Yeah.
The show, the Massively Speaking that we recorded at PAX East was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to do it with Gil Cat.
Elliot will be there, too. We can pick on Elliot.
Awesome.
Because he really liked that when we did it at PAX East last
year.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Oh, wait, no, the other thing.
Awesome. Well, let's read some emails here. We have three of them that I wanted to read, and believe it or not, you know, we did have a lot of emails, but I didn't want to read some of the ones from, like, you know, 2 weeks ago because a lot of the information that was asked was already covered. So I'm going to get some kind of more current ones. And this first one, it starts out, it says, "Hi, y'all. I was thinking about the Guild Wars 2 professions and trying to figure out if the Mesmer will be included. Objectively, just looking at the current skills, I do not believe the Mesmer will be carried over in its current form." This is the worst email ever, I have to say. ArenaNet stated that hexes have been removed in favor of a condition system. Interrupts and energy management have taken a backseat in the game. The existing Mesmer has 137 skills. Of those, 48 are hexes, 18 are related to energy management, and another 18 are interrupt-based. There are a few odd skills that rely on the target being hexed. Thus, about 90 skills, or 65% of the current Mesmer skills, will not be brought over in Guild Wars 2. With more than one half of the Mesmer's abilities gone, it is my belief that the Mesmer, as we know it, will not be carried over into Guild Wars 2. Of course, now that I've said this, ArenaNet will release the Savari Mesmer as the next class. Keep up the valuable community service and have a great time at your conferences, Asia. You know, those are all great points. I still stand by the fact that I think that they're going to mix it with something else. I think that whatever they... You know, maybe it'll be a Ranger Mesmer kind of a thing, but I think that they're still going to have this kind of elegant trickster. You know what I mean? Maybe it'll be like a rogue slash Mesmer. I don't know. But I really am holding on to it. And not just because I'm a Mesmer fanboy, but I just really think that they can't get rid of the Mesmer. It's such a unique class to Guild Wars, you know?
Oh, I completely agree. Stay strong, Sean.
I will.
It's coming. I promise.
I won't
You'll
cry.
Be all right. I can see some sort of a rogue Mesmer combination, and I would absolutely love to play that.
Yeah, me too. And the concept art shows a purpley figure with, you know, elegant clothes on and things like that. So I'm holding on. I think it'll be there.
All right, come on, ArenaNet, pretty please. Because, you know, I've already can't get him to shut up about Tabula Rasa. If the Mesmer's gone too.
I'll be like, I miss Tabula Rasa. And another thing, Mesmer's.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, okay. I really will be like that. Okay, so next email. Hey guys, just wanted to point out one thing. On the last episode, you brought up the fact that the Necro can wield daggers, but if you remember, so can the Elementalist. As posted on this website, and they put a link to guildwars2.com, we'll put this in the show notes, but it's basically the Elementalist profession page. It says it lists dagger mainhand and dagger offhand. Also, I wanted to speculate on the loss of a monk as a profession, and to maybe reassure and comfort those that are sad about the loss of monks as a whole. My thoughts are that it's very possible that the monks are still present in the Guild Wars world, however, simply no longer playable and now non-combatants.
They're quaggin'.
There you go. They're sorry for everything. There's a chance that with their more holy or spiritual ways of life, that they may have been well converted into the non-violent pacifist sort of characters that we may still see in the game as NPCs, perhaps offering us healing services, skills, or items in outposts. Just a thought, Kylo, or Kilo, something.
Kilo.
I don't know. I think, I guess it's a possibility, you know. Anything's possible at this point. And also, we've speculated, too, that maybe they will still have a monk, but it just won't be a healing class, kind of like they have in DDO. You know, they haven't said they're getting rid of the monk. They've said that they're getting rid of the main healing class, right?
The dedicated healer.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll still have something with Ray of Judgment.
Yeah.
Ray of Judgment is awesome.
Yeah, it'd be like a protector kind of mixed in with the ritualist.
I don't know. One way to find out.
Wait.
Yeah. That's really it. So, going back to the dagger thing for a second, I don't think we really ever thought that the Necro was the only thing that could wield daggers,
yeah.
Did we?
No, we didn't. No, I think it's cool, I imagine we'll see that in other ones too. I mean, even the Ranger, you know, is kind of has a melee branch to it. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll do this with more of them. It seems like they are kind of splitting the professions up a little bit to where there's a, you know, a healing ability and there's an up close melee ability, and a lot of them have ranged abilities. So, I like that because it kind of makes it a little less dependent on certain classes where you can still, you know, kind of play your version of that class, which is always cool. But we'll see.
Yeah, I like that thought. So I want time to go faster. I need to know.
All right. So this last email we're going to read here is, I saved the best for last.
This is my favorite.
It came a little bit before one of these other ones, but I wanted to save this for last. Starts out, hi Rubes and S-Dog. That's that's going to be my new name, actually.
I'm going to call you that forever.
This is Grend writing. I think even you can pronounce that one, Sean. Grend? I'm just writing
it's two syllables.
End. There you go. I'm just writing to drop off some important tidbits for you both to ponder over. On with the jokes.
Yay.
Okay, these are good jokes. I love them. But they're dad jokes, and I'm a dad, so...
No, these are Mad King jokes, man.
That's true.
I expect to see at least one of these at Halloween in-game.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Okay. If a Savari ate a salad, would it be considered cannibalism? Something to ponder. What's the difference between a human baby and an Asura baby? Give up. Two tortillas and some duct tape. I don't know. Okay, two Asura walk into a bar. The one on top falls off. You never know what you'll see in random arenas. I'm still shocked whenever I fight air elementalists. Oh, that's a groaner. Shocked. My new warrior build is on sale. It's now free of charge. That, I like that one. I like that one a lot.
I love it.
Free of charge. Get it?
All right, Dad.
Yesterday, a black dye dropped for me, so I applied it to my armor. I was dying to see how it looked. Oh, come on. Seriously? Okay, here's a knock-knock one. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting Mesmer.
Interrupting Mesmer?
Web of Disruption!
What the hell?
Okay, what do you call a Norn Who?
Web of Disruption.
Oh, your fast casting wasn't high enough on that one. We are not good at this. I've never been a fan of male Paragon armor in Guild Wars. With its bare chest look, I'm hoping it doesn't return in Guild Wars 2. Char Paragons would present a little more catnip than I can handle.
That is so bad.
Okay, I've heard a lot of people talk about the Necromancer in Guild Wars 2 being OP, which is clearly ridiculous. There were no Necromancers in Transformers. Do you get that? Optimus Prime, OP, Optimus...
Okay, tell the male Paragon Prime thing again. That was better.
Oh, here we have one left. And last, but certainly not least, I love playing my Earth Elementalist with all of his defensive enchantments. In Guild Wars 2, though, enchantments have been renamed boons. Here we go. Get ready. You might want to hide the kids on this one. Which I guess means I'll be playing Guild Wars 2 with a rock hard booner.
Okay, I'm 12, but I cannot stop laughing at that.
Okay, you can bring the kids back in now. It says, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I look forward to the next episode, Grend. Thank you, Grend. That was
awesome.
Yeah, there were some in there that I really liked. I think Ruby liked all of them.
I loved it. Those were great. Mad King, are you listening? You
yeah.
These.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Those were good.
Well, I think that would be a good place to end this show.
Yes.
And we'll try not to be late for next week. How's that sound? We'll try to do this in a week. Hopefully, they'll have a big reveal because we haven't had one in a while.
Please.
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can email me at sean@guildcast.com. It's S-H-A-W-N. Ruby at rubi@guildcast.com. There's our Twitter and Facebook pages you can check out. And our main page is at guildcast.wordpress.com, where you can check out the show notes for today's episode. And I think that's about it. So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.